This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, especially in kids. We're talking to an expert. He's been treating patients for decades. And he himself, well, you heard the big reveal in part one. It's fascinating because he was near unto death and certainly not likely to undertake a brilliant medical career. But through his own persistence and ingenuity, he came up with a system that enabled him to enjoy a 40-year career in excellent health and also to help innumerable others. Dr. Grovit is with us, but I just wanted to read just a little short anecdote, a story that is, you can actually find it on his website, which is NIBDinkids.com. We'll talk about NIBD in kids in just a moment. It's Jordan's story, and it's one of many. There are many, many case histories, and there are many statements of gratitude for Dr. Grovit's work. But this is Jordan. At the age of 12, Jordan Shapiro was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Her symptoms were chronic abdominal pain, diarrhea, bloating, gas attacks, vomiting, fevers, skin rashes, anemia, and sores in her mouth. She had lost 30 pounds in 6 months. She'd stopped growing, which is fairly typical in Crohn's kids, resulted in a 2-year growth delay. There's a picture of her. She certainly doesn't look like 12. She looks more like 8. At the beginning of treatment, she was prescribed steroids and chemotherapy medication, and there was no improvement. Her condition worsened, and her hair began to fall out. She missed 60 days of school and was becoming anemic. She'd been admitted to the hospital several times. Long and short of it is that on the nutrition protocol, along with nutraceuticals, Jordan gained 8 pounds in 10 days, became energetic again, began to rapidly return to her happy self. Her teeth improved. She grew 5 inches in the first year. She also experienced more energy and increased sense of well-being. And she's now 24 years old. She has gained 59 pounds. She grew 10 inches. She's an attractive young lady, a junior at NYIT University, majoring in art and computer graphics. And she is doing extraordinarily well. So, you know, fairly typical story, one among many that Dr. Grovit has presided over. You know, when we talk about the diet, you say the diet needs to be individualized, but it's certainly a very careful elimination diet. What about other nutraceuticals, as you call them? What are some of the other things that you have found helpful over the years?
Well, as you know, we've used amino acids and polypeptides to try to facilitate more rapid healing of the intestinal mucosa. We've used N-acetylglucosamine, where we're trying to trap some of the wheat lectins that sometimes slip through the diet when patients are a little bit loose with their diet. We've used pectin, certain spices such as cumin, coriander, rosemary, probiotics, prebiotics. I'm doing some very interesting work now trying to modulate the microbiome in the hope that we can affect some of these genetic believe it or not, some of these genetic issues where patients perhaps might have a single gene mutation that produces an abnormality in intestinal alkaline phosphatase. And I'm just trying to see now if modulating the microbiome can have some kind of an effect here. I suspect something may be happening because there are certain foods that appear to be quite useful.
Omega-3 fatty acids, do they play a role as well in this?
They play a very significant role. You know, at one time, we used exclusively DHA, docosahexaenoic acid from fish oil. But we are so fortunate to, at this point in time, know about 18-hydroxy-eicosapentaenoic acid and 17-hydroxy-docosahexaenoic acid. Now, within each DHA or EPA supplement, there's a very small amount of something called specialized pro-resolving mediators.
SPMs. Right.
Exactly.
Well, I'm so glad that you're talking about this, because, and I feel like, you know, we haven't shared this information, but that's something I'm also really hot on for my patients with inflammation.
Yeah, so when you consider that one SPM capsule has God knows how many DHA molecules in it. So we have a concentration of healing factors. Healing factors meaning myrcins, protectins, and resolvins. And this has accelerated the ability for patients to heal much quicker. But the one thing I have learned in dealing with these inflammatory bowel diseases, there is no single magic bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's an important realization, but different strokes for different folks, and people achieve success using a variety of means, and you have to really tailor it and be flexible and supple in your treatment. You know, if something doesn't work, move on to the next possibility.
The thing that you have to keep in mind is as you learn the pathophysiology of inflammation, after all, there is constitutional inflammation that's very necessary. It's the excessive production of inflammation that we have to deal with. There are supplements that can modulate the genetic transcription factor for inflammation, which is nuclear factor kappa B. Mm-hmm. And so curcumin can do that. There are a host of nutraceuticals that can contribute to this. And what I've learned, just as I learned with antioxidants, it doesn't take big doses of a single item. It takes lower doses of multiple items.
Mm-hmm. To put out the fire, so to speak. You mentioned the polypeptides. I mean, we know about amino acids, you know, various, you can get amino acid preparations that are easy to absorb through damaged intestinal mucosa. But the fish polypeptides that you used years ago, talking to you, I heard about these, and they actually play an important role in your support program for patients with inflammatory bowel disease. So tell us about those.
So many, many years ago, I was looking for a way of tightening up those tight junctions, because I firmly believe from the get-go that the leaky gut was real. It wasn't new age, you know, thinking. I felt it was really substantive and it was being overlooked. And so I came across a product called C-Cure, which originally was developed for substitution of milk products to help children grow. Because some children who have a lactose intolerance don't grow very well in some societies. And so there was a doctor that formed this company, Proper Nutrition, and I spoke with him early on. And I decided to take it myself. The lab rat in me came out again, and I saw what happened to me in about 3 or 4 weeks. I wasn't having a problem, but suddenly I found myself constipated. And that's been my experience with virtually every sick child and every sick adult that I've seen. If I give them C-Cure for about a month, they suddenly have a dramatic reduction in intestinal output. Mm-hmm. And they feel better.
And that's desirable in this case, because we were talking about patients who have multiple urgent bowel movements daily. They can barely get out of the house in the morning. And so that would be desirable.
Exactly. And what I learned from this little experience is that I once got a call from a patient in Europe who suddenly stopped going to the bathroom and thought they were obstructed. And the truth was, we said, okay, let's stop the C-cure for a day and then go back on it twice a day. And from that point on, everything was fine. And so we modulate the dose depending upon the circumstances. But it is one of the basic things that we use in inflammatory bowel disease.
Now, part of your success has been due to a collaboration with an MD. I think he's a gastroenterologist or a pediatric endocrinologist. He's an endocrinologist?
Yes,
Dr. Slonim, who... has advocated the use of growth hormone in these kids. And of course, it's fully justified because many of these kids are growth retarded. That's actually one of the hidden clues sometimes to Crohn's disease in kids is if they have failure to thrive, they don't reach their growth potential. If they, you know, a 12-year-old looks like a 9-year-old, you better do a intestinal workup to make sure they don't have Crohn's. And growth hormone helps with height, but it also helps with healing. So how often do you have to invoke growth hormone in kids to help them?
Well, since Dr. Slonim retired, we haven't really been able to advocate for growth hormone quite as easily. He understood the principles behind it. He was the one in 2000, he published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine on his use of human growth hormone in inflammatory bowel disease. He essentially effected a cure within 3 months, I think it was. But funding was not forthcoming, and so we couldn't continue he couldn't continue that study. I met him 2 years later, and in combination with my protocol, what we saw was just miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, you know, you can't take a gastroenterological problem and move it over to endocrinology without some kind of complication.
Mm-hmm.
So it involves more than I think a lot of doctors would want to get involved with.
Right. I mean, it sounds like a breakthrough innovative therapy, but it's unconventional. And I guess maybe the only way to secure growth hormone for your child with inflammatory bowel disease, if they meet the true criteria of failure to thrive, and then maybe an endocrinologist will sign off on it, and you can get the height benefits, but also the healing benefits, since growth hormone is something that also facilitates cellular repair, right?
Yep. It absolutely does. At the time we were doing this this paper, we pretty much concluded that it affected tree fall factor, which is one of those factors that helps heal the intestinal mucosa. So there are many stories I could tell you about our experiences with growth hormone, but Dr. Slonim was the one that really took this on and demonstrated that it does work.
Okay, folks, let's pause as usual to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. Here goes. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's MyFutureFarm, PHARM, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And now back to our guest, Dr. Melvin Grovet. There's been some breakthroughs in our understanding of the role that fungus might play in especially Crohn's disease. It's now thought that it's not just bacterial proliferation, it might be fungal overgrowth. And as you know, that one of the tests for Crohn's disease is a measurement of antibodies to yeast. Anti-Saccharomyces mm-hmm. antibodies is actually a blood test that helps sometimes distinguish between Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And
yeah,
so,
Prometheus.
Yeah, right. And so, is there a recipe for treating yeast proliferation, or is it just diet-based?
Well, it's very difficult to be diet-based with respect to yeast. What we try to do is encourage patients not to eat yeast, simply because there is this suspicion of Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is essentially baker's yeast. And no one has seemed to want to do the definitive study to see whether or not, under a proper scientific paradigm, whether or not Saccharomyces cerevisiae can invoke inflammatory bowel disease. The last line in any paper you'll hear about is, and more needs to be known about the clinical application, but no one does the clinical application. So, you know, sometimes the science that needs to be done doesn't get done for whatever reasons.
Yeah. Well, are you at least encouraged by a new trial of diet therapy that's been undertaken by the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation? At least I think they've gotten away from actively discouraging people to pursue a dietary approach because their official policy has been diet doesn't matter. And now, due to the generous underwriting of a parent of a child who has Crohn's disease, they're actually doing a study on the specific carbohydrate diet.
Well, more power to them. The more information we have, the better it is.
Indeed. I think what's disappointing is that it's taken so long and there's been such resistance to the idea that diet makes a difference in inflammatory bowel disease. The official position is that, we need costly immunosuppressive medications. You see advertisements for them on a regular basis on TV, usually accompanied by pictures of people happily eating pizza or, chili dogs with sauerkraut.
You know, Ron, I'm old enough now to have lived through the era when we were told that sugar has nothing to do with diabetes.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we learn that it really has everything to do with diabetes. It's just unfortunate. You have to go through these long periods of avoidance, denial, whatever you want to call it, until the information becomes overwhelming or the circumstances change in which we can no longer afford these illnesses.
Well, I think that what's happening is people are voting with their feet because, you know, they're going to conventional therapy and either they're finding it's not working satisfactorily or the side effects are unacceptable. And many are visiting clinicians like you and me to get nutritional support for their problems. So, that's how it's working. It's not a top-down thing where all of a sudden you're going to see acceptance from the gastroenterological societies that this is the way to go. It's just that people are seeking other answers.
They are, and we need to seek other answers. If you just take diabetes alone, in the United States, one out of 11 Americans currently has diabetes. In 2020, they expect it to be one out of 10 Americans. With the morbidity and mortality associated with diabetes, will there be any money left to treat all these other illnesses?
Indeed. I mean, it's catastrophic because we're really headed for a cliff in terms of healthcare expenditures and more medications, not the answer because essentially we're dealing with lifestyle diseases, not conditions amenable to a quick fix.
Precisely.
So tell us about NIBD in kids. It's a foundation that helps to support and encourage this work, right?
It does. And actually, this was the result of the efforts of Jordan Shapiro and her parents, Lenore and Keith Shapiro. The success we had with that child, she was the one that fostered the need to communicate this kind of information to the public. Jordan is an extraordinary child. In the middle of her early part of the illness, where she was having a little bit of improvement. She actually went to Canada and did a stand-up comedy routine on bowel humor.
Okay. That's
that is what this kid is all about.
That's a great
And so for her to start a foundation, it wasn't a surprise to me. But this is a wonderful, wonderful family that supports people who have inflammatory bowel disease, sends them recipes. Lenora's on the phone talking with them and understand. The issue really, Ron, is that I understand what patients are talking about because I lived it and I walked the walk. And Lenora has also. And so from a practical standpoint, Lenora supports all these patients with recipes and moral support. There's a story about Jordan that I think it's underappreciated by many physicians, the effect of teeth on inflammation of the intestine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jordan had four teeth in her upper jaw and four teeth in her lower jaw. 1 month, and she was being observed by an orthodontist because no one wanted those teeth to move all over the place. So one night, Jordan got a very high fever, and her stomach was killing her. And when she woke up in the morning, all her teeth had come in.
Oh, wow.
She was taken to the orthodontist who took a look at this. He could not believe what he was looking at. He was looking at all the teeth breaking through the gum surface. And he wanted to know, of course, Lenora told him about me. He wanted to know what it was that I actually was doing. And so she told him. He said, "Who is this?" And she gave him my name. And he said, "Why do I know this name?" And he thought about it for a minute or so. Oh, my God, he was one of my students. So he was an orthodontist at Columbia. Mm-hmm. And he was one of my my faculty who taught me oral health and nutrition.
So
what goes around comes around.
So the idea is that the changes in her were so profound that her delayed tooth maturation all of a sudden was corrected, and her teeth came out, you know, much as, you know, at a teething crisis of, you know, little kid. Little kids, you know, get very crabby and irritable when their teeth erupt. And she had that phenomenon with her adult teeth in her, I guess, her teen years. That's really amazing.
And so what happens with NIBD is patients will call Lenore, and instead of calling me, they call her and they ask her, "Have you ever seen this before?" And of course, Lenore chuckles and begins to tell them the story about Jordan. And those folks get off the phone and know that once the teeth kind of quiet down, the bowel's going to quiet down. And that's pretty much what happens.
Well,
it's not a flare.
There's nothing like patient advocacy. That's really,
absolutely,
really helpful. So the question I would pose to you, you know, is this diet is very rigorous. There's a lot of restrictions. I'm going to out you slightly because I had lunch with you a couple of years ago at a medical conference. And I, you know, when we went through the cafeteria line, I was very curious to see what you put on your plate. And you were very careful. You put, you know, very nice, you know, vegetables on your plate and just a little bit of animal protein, no grains. And then I noticed that, you know, we passed the part of the line where there were rolls sitting there. And you grabbed a roll and you put it on your plate. And I said, "What's up with that? Isn't gluten verboten?" So
no.
What happened there? I mean, are you so far into remission that after a while you can handle a little bit of some of these foods which would have caused devastation when you were in your crisis mode?
You know, as we get older, the immune system becomes much more forgiving, much more tolerant. You could never do that to me as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you I would have reacted very badly with that as a teenager. But yes, at this point in my life, I am able to eat, you're not going to like to hear this, but I am able to eat a more refined grain.
Mm-hmm.
I am not able to eat whole grains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because of the sheer roughage effect, the difficulty in digesting, perhaps.
It's a very difficult go for me. The minute I eat whole grains, I have... I have a message from my intestine. It's not happy.
And it also may be that, you know, when grains are refined, they remove much of the nutritional value, but they also may refine away some of the lectins or some of the offending compounds. And so what you're basically getting is a little bit of refined starch as opposed to the multiple plant materials that may, and fiber that may have an irritative effect. So, you know, I guess that makes sense. So, I mean, that's the good news, is that if you're in remission for a long time, and this is what I tell my patients, is that, look, this is not forever. Don't despair. It's daunting to consider a lifetime of avoidance of, you know, everything under the sun. And yet, you know, close adherence to the diet, ultimately there's a payoff with greater tolerance of some forbidden foods, right?
And more importantly is the maintenance of the nutraceutical protocol that I developed for these people, because it can intervene with some of these pro-inflammatory things that have a possibility of acting up. I still take every nutraceutical that I've ever come up with every single day. I do not intend to find out if I can go nutraceutical free. As far as I'm concerned, what it's done for me, I'm perfectly content with.
Well, absolutely. And so today's call to action, first of all, let's get some information about the foundation if people want to support it, investigate it. Where can they find information?
NIBDinkids.com.
Okay. And you have a website. And what is that, please?
Yes. It's Dr. Melvin Grovet at gmail.com.
And let's spell that for people, because the spelling is a little atypical.
DrMelvynGrovit at gmail.com.
At Gmail. Well, that's actually a way to directly correspond with you. Of course,
right.
The website is also, is it drgrovet.com? Let me see.
Dr. Melvin Grovet.
Dr. Melvin Grovet is the website. And
yeah.
Finally, once again, let's mention that you're available for consultation. You have patient hours, and your office is located near New York. It's just a few minutes away from Grand Central Station on the line.
Yeah, my
train
line. My office is just one block away from the White Plains train station. So I have a fairly substantial Manhattan practice. People get to me in about 32 minutes.
Great. Well,
that's
hey,
right.
You know, congratulations on a magnificent career, and also on having the resources and the balance and perspective to resolve your own health problem, which has launched a brilliant career for you, helping others.
Thank you so much for appreciating all that.
Yeah, you certainly are an asset in our continued battle against IBD. I think you're one of the most important figures on the nutrition front, so glad that you've had an opportunity to share your expertise with our audience. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Warren.
That's Dr. Melvin Grovet. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which play a central role in helping support optimal immune function. Micell Immune Plus, Vitamin C 1000 Plus Zinc 15, and Vitamin D3 in a variety of potencies and delivery systems, liquid, chewable, and soft gels. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order.